read to us, and we're going to carry on with it next week because there's a lot just in these few verses. And I want to make sure we get to our coffee today, and we're going to sing a bit more as well in a little while. So I'm actually going to set my stopwatch going. There we go. And I can keep an eye on that. Before we get to the passage, though, I just want to allude to something that happened about 10 days ago. And in a way, Christina's already touched on it. 10 days ago, the World Health Organization, it was their annual World Health Mental Health Day. And I was away last week in the UK, so I couldn't say something then in the service. And I just want to say something briefly now about that. In the spring, Christina and I will talk a little bit more about faith and mental health. But I just wanted to say something today because of this event having taken place. Some of you would have heard about Jared Wilson. Jared Wilson was a pastor in California, and along with his wife Julie, set up a charity called Anthems of Hope, which was there to support people with mental health difficulties and also those struggling with addictions. Sadly, after many years of himself struggling with depression, he took his life last month, and it sent a ripple through the church world. And of course, for his wife, his two young boys, the church community, I'm sure it's been incredibly devastating, and our prayers and our thoughts go out to them. But I want to say, followers of Jesus are not immune from mental health challenges any more than they're immune from physical health challenges or bereavement or unemployment or any of the other things that can come along. And yet, sadly, sometimes in the church world, for whatever reason, there can be sometimes be even more stigma about mental health than elsewhere. And that should not be. It really should not be. And my hope and my prayer is that ICL is a safe place. It's a place where, as our core value down there talks about being real, that we can be real. And that whatever challenges any of us face, or maybe we're in a caring role for someone who's walking through challenges, and that can be just as tough, that actually this is a place of safety. We're talking about this series of Love Comes to Town, and part of that is loving our neighbour as ourselves. And part of that specifically for us as a church community is that we love one another. We journey with each other, non-judgmentally, that we're there for people. That if we ask someone, how are you doing, we genuinely want to know the answer to that question. We're not wanting someone just to say, I'm all right, because basically that fits, oh, that's good because I've been praying for you. As if we see prayer as some magic fix that's got to work straight away. Don't misunderstand me. Healings can happen very dramatically. And we thank God for when that happens. We really do. And let's be open to that. And the thing is, the more we pray for one another, I guess the more likely that is going to be taking place. But it doesn't always happen straight away, either physically or when it comes to mental health issues. And maybe today you've sat here and you've never, ever told anyone about what you are struggling with. Whether you're a part of this congregation or you're visiting here today from somewhere else. And maybe partly because you're believing lies like, well, I'm a Christian and Jesus is in my life, so therefore I shouldn't struggle like this because it's not a very good witness. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It really is. It stinks. And it's religious rubbish. It really is. And it binds people up. Or maybe it's, well, what will people think about me? Well, we can't always control that. But if there are people whom we can trust and we can journey with, another great plug for a connect group, for example, people that we've got to know and we can trust and be open with, then maybe that can help. Maybe it can help someone here today to know, I know what that's like. A few years ago, I hit a burnout time. It was horrible. I've struggled along the way with the edges of depression. It's not fun. I have an ongoing chronic health issue, which often will leave me wiped out and exhausted, and times very, very low. Now, I know God is good. God can heal. And thank God for grace. But actually, at times there are limits. And times that can be really frustrating. At times where you feel you can't do anything. And within our congregation, we have a number of people who have all kinds of mental health challenges, different forms of depression and so on, and different journeys with that. And some people have experienced quite dramatic healing, and others have, it's through medical help that has helped them along the way. Why do I put this all out here today? Well, certainly not for a pity me Andy session, so you'll come up and go, oh, I'm ever so sorry to hear about that. That's okay. I've got people who are with me journeying on that. But maybe, just maybe, even if there's one person here today that you hear a pastor sat here saying, yeah, God is good, and at times I really struggle in life, if that gives you permission, if that gives you an openness to talk to someone and to get some help, to not carry on struggling with the Christian cheesy grin and keeping up the religious image, then so be it. That vulnerability is worth it. As I say, we'll explore this some more in the new year, and looking about faith in Christ and about our identity and our well-being and our mental state. But I just wanted to say something today in the light of both what had happened with Jared Wilson and also the Mental Health Day. As was said a little bit earlier, where do you go from that? How do you follow that? But let's just get into the Bible a little bit here together today. Since September, we started a series called Love Comes to Town. And it's based around these words from Matthew's Gospel. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. We said the Apostles' Creed together just a few minutes ago. And across the ages for many centuries, it's not the first creed that was ever developed. It's not the most detailed one. But churches or Christians from all kinds of traditions say this. It's something of what unites us together in Christ. And Jesus spoke these words out on an occasion when a teacher of the law spoke to him and said, well, you know, what's the most important commandment? What's the core? And Jesus said, this is the core. Loving God and loving others as ourselves. And we explored that over the weeks of September. We touched on challenging words such as, the world will know you're my disciples if you love one another. Kicks into what I was just talking about with health issues and journeying with one another. And then, if that isn't challenging enough, what about these words? Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That was a fun topic when we touched on that one. Now, there's a big challenge. Helen spoke from Micah chapter 6 about the call to love mercy, to act justly, to walk humbly with your God. And all of this in the context, as it says in the first letter of John, we love because he first loved us. As Bono puts it in one of his songs, like a desert needs rain, like a town needs a name, I need your love. Or a chorus that some of you might remember from Matt Redman in his slightly younger days, more than oxygen, I need your love. That the love that we're called to is in the context of God's love, ultimately shown on the cross. Maybe to one of two of us today, it seems strange singing words, oh, the wonderful cross. Change the word for a moment. Oh, the wonderful electric chair. You just wouldn't sing that, would you? The wonderful cross. That Christ laid his life down for humanity, to take the wrongdoing of humanity upon himself, that which separates us from God and from each other. And on the cross, in the midst of all of that pain, declared, it is finished. It's done. The price is paid. That's why we sing a wonderful cross. That's why we call it Good Friday. Well, there's all kinds of etymological roots to that word, but it's a good reason to call it Good Friday, even though it's about a death. It could seem so strange. So we had all this journey with all of these different weeks there in September. And today I want to just move it on a little bit. And this word, well, which one of them? Not turn on the tap, but generosity is the word that, if nothing else stays with us today, would be sown into our hearts, to have generous attitudes. And I think a way to approach this passage which Luke read to us is to come with a sense of generous attitude. So let's get into the passage. Well, we're going to do two verses of it today. Do not judge and you'll not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Well, let's touch firstly on what this isn't talking about. Okay, this is not saying it's wrong to be in the legal profession. You know, that you're doing. So if you're a student here today and you're studying at the law faculty at Leiden University, it's okay. You can carry on. And if you want to become a judge, that's okay. In fact, that's a good thing. We need people, we need Christians, we need believers in the legal profession. We need righteous legal systems. All too often around the world, we have legal systems that are corrupted by the political powers, for example, and they're not separate. We have all kinds of things going on. And we need to pray into all of that. We need to pray for those who stand up for righteousness and stand up for what is right, including within legal systems. Pray for people such as Victor, who we support, and his group Human Rights Foundation in Nigeria, standing up for prisoners there in Nigeria who have gone without proper legal process. They may well be guilty, but they haven't actually received proper process and are treated, in some cases, awfully. God has a heart for justice. We see that throughout the Bible. Just this morning, I read in Psalm 89, I read through in the Psalms, it says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. I referred to Micah a few moments ago, and at one stage he writes about the ruler who demands gifts, the judge who accepts bribes, the powerful dictate what they desire, they all conspire together. Or in Isaiah we can read these words, is this not the kind of fasting I've chosen, to loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Do not judge and you will not be judged is nothing to do about justice being wrong. It's nothing to do about the legal system. Though, of course, we need legal systems which are not corrupt. Nor are these words here in Luke 6 not saying we shouldn't make a right judgment, if I can put it that way, be discerning about a situation. Listen to these words from Jesus. The context is Jesus is at the Feast of Tabernacles, one of the big Jewish festivals in Jerusalem. And he's there. How dare he? He's healed a person on the Sabbath. Very naughty to bring wholeness to someone on a day of celebration before God. How could you dare to do that? So anyway, some of the religious guys are having a go at him about this, and they are saying, well, what are your credentials? You know, you're not a proper rabbi, and who do you think you are anyway? And he replies at one stage, I did one miracle, you're all astonished. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision, you circumcise a child on the Sabbath. Well, look, if a child can be circumcised on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing the whole person on the Sabbath? Stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. Stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. And that segues nicely into what is Jesus getting at here? Do not judge. You'll not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. He's targeting how it can be in all of us, not just his hearers there, that so easily we can fall into prejudice, so easily that we can fall into judgmentalism of others based on all kinds of criteria we decide make them different from us and maybe in some way makes them inferior to us or to be criticized. Nationality, religion, gender, wealth or education status could be examples. Which part of town people live in? Which side of the main railway line to Den Haag they live on? which street you live in. Do you own your house or do you rent your house? We had someone in the congregation who experienced that once, who people wouldn't talk to them until one day they found out that they owned their house, they weren't renting it. Really? Great. No, I'm sounding judgmental about that anyway. A person's accent, a person's looks, whether they're a zappy personality and they feel super confident up at the front, or whatever it might be. Let's bring it into church community setting. Which church background people are from? Which denomination? Which type of worship songs do they like to sing? Would they rather go to opvecking or sit in a monastery? Oh, what do they think of my big thing? That big thing that's really big to me and I think should be central and every Christian should be into that issue. But actually others aren't. Oh, they're not very spiritual. They're not into my thing. Does that person act the way that we think they should? Do they keep the rules that we think are important? They went into Albert Heijn after church. How do I know? We're not going to open all that one up, but see you in there later. Listen to these words from Paul. This is Romans 14. And he speaks about special days. And he speaks there also about the issue of meat. There's nothing to do about vegetarianism. That's a different issue. That's either a preference choice or an environmental issue these days. But back then it was connected to religious worship. And the meat often was, if you like, dedicated to gods and so on. And for some believers, it was like, well, that's just a load of nonsense. It doesn't matter. But for others, for their conscience, they really struggled with that. And Paul spoke into this, what was a very real issue. And likewise, many for believers were coming from a Jewish background. The Sabbath was very important to them. And the idea that basically the Sabbath rules should still be kept by those who were followers of Jesus. And so there was all that debate going on as well. And of course, for us all as followers of Christ, it's important for our own selves that we make a decision before God what we do and what we don't do with certain days. So I'm not going to open it up. It's Sunday Sabbath and what do you do on that day? That's between you and God. That's not for me to say to you what the rules are with that. I do think the principle of Sabbath rest, as I've touched on many occasions, is an important thing to build into our lives and have time out. Dare I say it, do you ever turn off your phone? Do you ever unplug from the internet? Just an aside. I suggest it would be good to do. You will not cease to exist. You will not have a breakdown if you don't look at Google for a while. But anyway, but these words that Paul writes into this situation, because clearly in this church community, people were getting each other. They were judging each other. They were going, you don't need to keep the Sabbath special, or you don't keep the Sabbath special, or I can eat whatever meat I want. And I was like, well, what are you doing? I'm really struggling with that. And so there was all this stuff going on, all this dynamic taking place. Paul writes this, why do you judge your brother or sister? Why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It's written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue acknowledge God, so that each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Let's stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. Stop judging. Don't put a stumbling block. And maybe that's a good thing for us all to think about in our lives. Are there any ways that we are judging other people, condemning others, but also are we putting any kind of stumbling block in the way? Well, an issue I'm not going to completely open up today, but one of the reasons that we made a decision many years ago that in ICL main events we wouldn't have alcohol is not because of the debate about should Christians drink alcohol or not, and I know within this congregation there'll be different opinions on that, but actually out of sensitivity to maybe those where it's been a struggle, and we don't want events to be reinforcing that struggle. That's why we make that decision. People say, well, I want to drink a beer. Yeah, okay, you maybe you have a freedom to do that. But if it's a stumbling block to somebody else, then that's not expressing love. That's actually selfish. And so we need to think these things through. And that's what Paul's getting at here, about are we considering one another? You see, freedom is a good thing. But with our freedom, there also comes a responsibility in caring for one another. This is to do with our heart attitudes. Will we allow the Holy Spirit to shine his light in and show us if there's anything dark inside of any of us? Attitudes that we may have towards someone else in the room or towards a group of people. I don't know what it might be. We'll take some moments at the end of the talk just to reflect. I was going to do it now, but I think I'll do it all just at the end. So often, people can feel pointed at, got at, for whatever reason, judged in one way or another. If, as a church community, we're going to be accused of love, as I've said a couple of times during September, if we're going to be the kind of place where people go, oh, that church, they love people. We're not sure about all that Jesus stuff. That seems a bit weird, a bit quirky, this believing in God. We're not, but they really do seem to love people. That there's no place for us judging or condemning. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to really search our hearts for that. We need an attitude check to see what's going on. It's not very light, is it? Sorry, but in terms of a topic. But forgive and you'll be forgiven. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. When we hold back on forgiveness, it can become like a prison sentence and it can chain us up. And that can be hard because sometimes forgiving is really tough. Listen to these words from Jesus from Matthew's Gospel. If you forgive people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive people their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Uncomfortable words, perhaps. They come straight after what we have called the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer, you know, we say it sometimes as a congregation, and many churches do. But then, interestingly, we don't say these two verses. It doesn't mean that Father God doesn't want to forgive you. It also doesn't mean that I earn God's forgiveness by my forgiving others. But there is a connection between the two, that in our receiving God's forgiveness, in our being open, being repentant of our own lives and maybe our own shortcomings, that actually there is a willingness in there to forgive others. And of course, sometimes that's really hard to do. And maybe you're sat here right now and going, ouch, I really don't want to be thinking about this particular topic right now because you don't know what happened to me. You don't know about X. You're right, I don't. God does. Jesus is saying these words. He's saying something that's possible. If it isn't possible, it's unreasonable and it's unfair that he said it. But actually, he did say it, so it's got to be possible. Firstly, I want to say acknowledge it. Acknowledge that whoever it is you're finding hard to forgive or impossible to forgive, that you can't forgive them. Just be real with God about that. He knows that anyway. And say, Lord, the where I'm at right now is I don't even feel like I can forgive them. Would you help me, please? And maybe that's the beginning of the journey. And maybe we've got to pray multiple times, God, I forgive that person. Perhaps in the mix of the journey, then maybe we need some support. We need to talk to some others about it. Maybe in some cases, we maybe need some professional support to help us. Work through anger, work through despair, work through sadness, or whatever it might be. That the things there that we need to journey through. I'm not standing here, sitting here this morning in front of you all just saying, it's just a magic mantra. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. And it's this ding, just like that. Because actually in some cases, maybe this is quite a journey to go on. But it says in 2 Corinthians, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And it's possible to be free. And the person that we extend forgiveness to, I just want to let us know, they may never change. They may never be sad for what they did. They may never want to put it right. But you set yourself free. You set yourself free. You're no longer bound up by bitterness, anger, and can be free from that. Nor does that mean that that person, if it's been something criminal, that of course justice shouldn't be taking place. It doesn't mean that someone shouldn't be necessarily going into the law courts and facing up to what they've done. That's not what I'm saying. Not at all. But forgiveness is something different. And maybe there's just a message that Holy Spirit would speak into our hearts. And where are the times? I'm going to leave out a couple of scriptures I would have referred to. But I just want to ask, even here in our church community, or if you're visiting here today in your own community, is there someone you need to forgive? Is there someone you need to go and ask forgiveness of? If there is, have the courage to go and do it. Even in coffee time today, and we're not all going to be looking at each other going, ooh, are they having a forgiveness conversation? Ooh, I'll have a little listen. For prayer purposes, of course. You know? But, you know, let's just seek to put things right. I'm going to finish with this verse. Scrap the rest of the notes. We'll come to this a bit more next week. But give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. When I was growing up, the only time I ever heard this verse being referred to was when whoever's up the front wanted to talk about financial giving. And it would be like, well, if you give, then you're going to be blessed abundantly, so give now. As the organ manipulated me into an emotional feeling of emptying my wallet and handing over my entire bank account again. I'm using hyperbole, I know, I'm being over the top. Now, if you take the approach to these verses in Luke 6, that these are a collection of different sayings of Jesus, then it's very easy to take verse 38, lift it out of the context of the rest of it and go, this is about financial giving. I think it can speak into financial giving, and I'll touch on that at the beginning of next week. But in the context, this context of generous attitude, this generous giving, what's the context? Don't judge. Don't condemn. Forgive. Be a generous forgiver. Be a generous, how do we say a double negative? A generous not condemner. A generous not judger. As we'll see, and we'll get to it next week. I love the illustration. The plank and the speck. It's a great illustration. People think Jesus was just serious all the time. I think he said quite a lot of these words with a real sparkle in his eye. Hopefully not a plank in his eye as well, but sparkle in his eye as he gave this illustration. Even as he said, you hypocrites. I think I wouldn't be surprised if there was a bit of a dance in his words. But give and it will be given to you. Be generous. And that's what we're going to finish at. Generosity. You see, the call to examine our hearts that we're not judging, the call to examine our hearts that we're not condemning other people, the call to forgive, all of that is very challenging. And maybe for some of us it could feel quite heavy. But we come back to this, it's about generosity. And we come back to this because in a way this is the ultimate expression of the generosity of God. In laying his life down for us, Christ gave everything. And in the context of that, we're called to a generous attitude. But also he's given us his Spirit so that when it comes to things like forgiveness, especially when it's tough, we're not on our own in that. that his spirit is there to help us, but he also gives us community. That actually, that's part of the point of the body of Christ, is we can't always do it on our own, and we're not called to do it on our own. We need each other. So if it's something I've said today, it's touched on something quite deeply personal, and you need to talk to someone, I hope that there's someone you can talk to during coffee time. Maybe you want someone to pray with you. Maybe you just need to express for the first time, you know what, I'm struggling with whatever it might be. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for who you are. Lord, thank you for the freedom we've had to come together and worship you. Lord, thank you for the rest of your church across the Leiden area. Lord, I thank you for the God Centre as they're meeting in their new venue for the first time today. Pray your blessing on that church congregation. Pray for Crossroads Leiden as they've got a weekend away. Be with them, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you call us to love you and to love our neighbour as ourselves. And the context is that we love because you first loved us. I thank you for everybody in this room. Lord, help us to examine our hearts, to know and to face up to, are we judging others in any way? Are we condemning others in any way? Are we willing to actually try and see things from the other point of view? And Lord, the call to forgive as well. Lord, at times we find that really hard, Lord. And we need your help. And Lord, I want to pray for anybody here, especially that just feels a very painful part of scripture to hear from today about forgiving. I pray be close to them. Be very close. Lord, I thank you for you all. Lord, I also ask your blessing to everybody's life as we go into the rest of this week, Lord.